This is the second audio of the River of Life Teacher's Instruction. After you've downloaded the three documents that I requested you download in the previous audio, let's take a look at the summary document. This is the five-page PDF, the one that's got some green book cover on the front of it. Now, I'm not going to repeat all of the summary document guidelines there, so please do read through it. But I do want to make a plea for four teaching standards that I have found crucial in my programs that I've tested out this curriculum again 40 to 50 times in different settings. And in order to have children love this, in order to have children open to it, in order for to have children joyfully and gleefully participate in it, I think these four standards are very important. Number one, please, no tests. Don't use this curriculum as something that you're going to show children and then announce that you're going to test them on it. Please honor that the evolution of how children have learned through time is basically for the sheer joy of it. Our ancestors, for thousands of years and millions of years, children learned primarily because they wanted to learn. They would watch over the shoulders as adults were doing things. They would play act at adult games themselves. So given that this is an evolutionary program, I'd really like to honor our evolutionary ways of learning. You will find in the summary document ideas for follow-up projects that are also fun and help confirm both the values teaching that the kids have gotten in this and some of the information. But no tests, no tests. And of course, because this is focused on creatures, if you're working with elementary school kids of any age, for very many of them, animals are going to be a primary focus of their avocational interests in book reading anyway. So they're just going to enjoy this program and learn from it without you having to encourage them to learn. Second standard after no tests is please, if you can, you may not be able to start this way, but ultimately if you can, move towards a situation in your whenever you're asking a question of the class, you're not asking them to raise hands on which you would then call out an individual to provide an answer. Have this be more spontaneous. Have it be sort of like a single organism that is testing out and calling out different answers. And finally, when you hear an answer, you can say, yes, yes, that's the answer. It's gorilla. And so it's not single individuals, and the kids get the joy of being able to participate as a group with less of a focus on whether they have the right answer or the wrong answer. Third, even though this particular program entails a lot of, or is suggested for the longer versions of it, a lot of volunteer script reading by anyone who's capable of reading a script, and as I'll explain later, even by those incapable of reading, please ensure that there's no sense of any compulsion for anyone to volunteer to read. And that there's no cajoling by peers, that the peers are going, come on, Sally, we read, you can read. You know, let them do that a little while, but don't force it. Just don't let that happen. What you'll find is that by the end of the program, what I've found is that even the most reluctant children, even those who are the most reclusive, even the shyest, once they've seen how much fun it is for their peers to be up there, and even when their peers make a reading mistake, it's not like it's a problem, it's just sort of fun and humorous, you'll find that they'll want to volunteer. Also, here's the astonishing thing, you'll find that even the most challenged readers usually will step forward by the end of the program and want to volunteer too. This may be in the form of a sixth grader who reads at only a first or second grade level and therefore is rather embarrassed about it. I've had situations where they've been willing to step forward. Now, later in the program, but they've been willing to step forward. I've even had situations in which, now I don't bill this as something for four-year-olds, but five and up, but where I've had four-year-olds in the class with, this would be religious education programs where their brothers or sisters are in the class too, and a parent comes in to be with them, where the kid will sort of be in and out of listening and watching and kind of doing their own thing. But I had a four-year-old boy who volunteered at the end of the program. He wanted to read. I asked for a call of hands, and up went his hand. I called on him. His parent looked shocked. He came forward, and I just pointed to phrase by phrase and whispered in his ear, three or four words at a time, and then he read it out. The remarkable thing you'll find is that if the class senses that something important is happening here, when a sixth grader who is embarrassed of reading volunteers to read, or a four-year-old who cannot read at all volunteers to read, the rest of the class will really settle down and become quiet, even if the reading voice is very quiet. They sense something important is going on here, even though they may not have quite that level of courtesy for their other classmates. Fourth and finally, please honor the emotional responses and the opportunity for children to have whatever emotional response they may have to one line of questioning in particular. And the emotional responses may evolve as the program goes on. But one of my ulterior motives here is not just for children to learn the evolution of life, but what I want is for the children to really start feeling that all of the species alive in the world are part of their family, and that they indeed, whether they're an only child, are part of a very big family, that we're all related. This, of course, is a wonderful spiritual principle, but even for in public school settings, there's a very real need for children to deal with the ecological crises on Earth. As they grow up, they're going to need to deal with the tremendous amount of extinctions that are and will be going on. And so a great basis to come from is that this is part of my family. So honor the emotional responses. What you'll see sprinkled in a little bit at the beginning and then going off with a crescendo at the end, a lot of it happening, there will be either in the script for the volunteer to read or you as a teacher, there'll be a question like, are you happy to be related to a lemur? Or, are you proud to be related to a tree shrew? And then the tree shrew may say, and I'm proud to be related to you. Well, I've watched kids, and I've watched them in context with adults. When it's in mixed family groups, usually the adults are always playing along, and they're laughing, and they're just proud to be related to everything. But kids are concrete literalists, and they'll take this real literally. And if this is the first time that they've ever had a sense that they are related to something other than a human being, it may be a little shocking for them. It may be they're not sure how they feel about it. And you may see some weird looks on their faces. Let that be. What will end up happening is that their classmates who are enthusiastic about being related to a shark are going to have an influence on them. And pretty soon they're going to start playing along too. But please honor their emotional responses and the diversity that you're likely to have. This is the end of the second instructional audio. Before you go to part three instructional audio, please have available either on screen or printed out the River of Life Leader Scripts in PDF. It's that huge 41.4 megabyte document. The URL for it, once you click on it, is actually going to say River of Life X PDF. The X is important because it's the participant version of the scripts doesn't have an X in the URL. So for now, I don't need you to download the participant version, but I do need you to be following along in the next audio, the River of Life Leader Scripts in PDF.